Good morning. Is this awesome or what? Yeah. I don't know if you received the email earlier this week, but I sent out a thing talking about how Bonnie Henry has met with the religious leaders of BC and Yukon and have said that we will be able in July to have no occupancy restrictions. So I'm waiting for that to be official and what the protocols look like for that. But then from what I've also heard is August, September, it could be just wide open. So we'll get you all that information for in-person services. There won't be registrations and all that kind of stuff down the road. But as of next Sunday, this coming Sunday, definitely same deal. Register. That'll come out probably tomorrow morning. You can register. And then that may be our last registration. Yeah. Unless it comes back and we do this all over again. So, yeah. Oh, anyways, it's been a very interesting many months. And since we closed the last time we started renovations, foyer was a mess. And so we had to delay it a little bit. To get some stuff ready, but we're slowly getting there, and we're glad that you're here. It's very exciting. I also want to point out to you, too, that tomorrow is National Indigenous Peoples Day, and I want us to take the time tomorrow to recognize and acknowledge what has happened. We've known that these residential schools were around for a long time, but all of the details that many of us didn't know, and that's something that we've hidden. Maybe it's our government, maybe it's our history, whatever it is, has hidden it, and now it's out. And now we need to recognize it. We need to acknowledge it. We need to respond in some way, and respect the past that has happened and change and move forward and never do this again. And so it's very important. I want us to do that this week, and that is exciting. Because we've been looking at helping out Indigenous communities for a while now, and I just wanted to give a welcome to the Haida Gwaii Church. There's a couple churches out in Haida Gwaii that we've been talking to and working with and want to work further, but because of the pandemic, we haven't been able to really do anything, but we're looking forward to coming there and helping with resources as well as reach out into their Indigenous communities. And we've been working on this for a bit. We haven't talked about it all that much here because there hasn't been the opportunity to do that properly. And so we are excited to be a part of a community with them in Haida Gwaii. So welcome. I'm looking forward to going up there and meeting them face to face instead of just on Zoom. But today is Father's Day. And Father's Day, our culture has taken it and made fathers look like selfish, blundering, out-of-date fools that can't really provide for their families and make a decision if their pants are on fire. And although that may be funny to watch on TV, it's not a great example. It's funny, but I don't know of too many fathers that fit that bill. But I think when our culture looks at these things, they can take it too far, and that can be dangerous because that's not how God views fathers and men. I don't know if you've ever lost something. Now, maybe it's your keys, maybe it's whatever, but I have this thing called an ear pod, and it's expensive. It's quite expensive, and I misplaced this thing quite a bit. I don't like to admit to Michelle I do that, but I do. And it was an investment. It's a few $100 for these AirPods, whatever they're called. See, now I'm sounding like, okay, see? Anyways, EarPod, the Google Box, all that kind of stuff, the Facebook. Anyway, so I got these things, and they're really great. They're active, as in I can cancel out people all around me. So if you ever see me walking around in here on a Sunday with them in, because I'm ignoring you. Anyway, so I have these things. And I put them places for safekeepings, and then I forget where they are, or I've been really busy and I'm in a rush and I leave them somewhere. Apple knew that this would be a thing. And so they created this thing called the iFind thing. whatever. It's an it finds your silly stuff. Anyways, all your Apple products, it'll find it for you. And the problem with this isn't working in the cultural thing. Anyways, this thing will find your stuff. But the problem is, if it's not on or open, it doesn't know where it is. So what good is this, right? So it only knows where you had it last. Well, I know that. I just don't know where I put it. I know I had it in the house. It has a little GPS, it'll tell you. But unless it's open and alive and working, you don't know. You can't find it. And so I will rip through the house just to find these silly iPods because I don't want to have to call Michelle and say, I need more money to buy these things because I need them. And she'll be like, oh, Mr. Mark Davis losing something, right? Because, you know, and I'm like, okay, whatever. Because when she loses something, I say, why would you do that? And so then she's like, why would you do that, Mark Davis? Why would you lose your expensive ear pod things, whatever they're called? So it's thrown back at me, but that's another sermon for a day of forgiveness and forgetting things of the past. But I tear apart everything. I phone people, hey, at the office, can you look, just peek inside my office and see if they're there? Because I can't focus on anything else other than these things that are lost. And I'm sure there's something in your life, like an earring or something that someone's given you, or something a family member's given. If you misplace it, you will tear everything apart to find it. That's something that is a great example of what God does when someone is lost. He'll tear apart everything so that you'll know he's there. He'll make everything known to you possible. Luke chapter 15 gives us a very good example of how God reacts when someone is lost. And I want to read it for you this morning. It goes like this. It goes, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now we could stop there and unpack that. We're going to keep on going. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You see, there's a direct correlation to the way we view our birth fathers and how that plays a larger role in how we view our Heavenly Father. And as a result, many picture God physically or emotionally distant. Maybe that's happened in your past. Maybe a parent left or was emotionally distant and didn't connect. But Scripture's full of so many examples of how God cares for each and every one of us. He is present in our lives, and he has love for each and every one of us. His examples show us how the greatest gift we can give to our children as fathers and to our families is being fully present in their lives. I'm here to tell you this morning that no one has ever been at a funeral of a parent or any loved one and said, I wish they worked more. No one has ever said that. What I hear time and time again is when someone has lost a loved one, they say, I wish I had more time with them. I wish we didn't leave on these circumstances. I wish I had one more second. I wish I could have heard their voice one more time. No one ever says, I wish I didn't. Now, they may say it out of anger because of how things have gone. But they wish inside that the relationship was better. Every single one of them. And our world paints success in terms of wealth and material possession. But God knows. He knows us. And he knows that truly successful parents and family members are the ones who invest in themselves and in their families' lives. But you already knew that because we know that God puts relationships first. Love God and love your neighbor, right? You already knew that. Like Mother's Day, Father's Day can be a very difficult, very tricky, very complicated day for some because it brings up either their past history of their family or of, you know, something that they've been like and they just don't know how to change. So present hurt. But regardless of how great your father was or how not great they were, you have a heavenly father that's given an example and extravagantly loves you no matter what. He's a father you can approach and ask for advice, for ask for wisdom, and ask for anything. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And that's referencing Isaiah, the father being the cornerstone, who everything relies on him, and anyone who relies on him will be taken care of. And God doesn't show any favoritism. As Scripture says in Romans 10, 11 to 13, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who can call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. So the fact that we're struggling with, and we've gone through this for the last few years, we have Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate, we have the indigenous atrocities. These are things that all Scripture has spoken to, that it doesn't matter who, what you look like, where you've been, it doesn't matter. He loves us all. And I can't for the life of me fathom how someone can treat someone because of the way they look or any type of history that they've had in the past. I cannot fathom it. And that includes everyone. Everyone. And we got to be so careful. Because this collection of letters and books and poems and history, this Word of God, has been talking about this for a very long time. And yet, those in the past that have preached this, and some today, will take it and spew venom and hate and garbage. And that's not okay. That's not okay. And we do not stand for that or allow that in any way. I forgot where I was. Repeated throughout Scripture, He will never leave or abandon his children. And who are his children? We are all his children. In this book, Timothy Keller writes The Prodigal God. He says that the word prodigal, because as you move on in chapter 15, you'll see that there's the parable of the lost sheep. Then there's the lost coin. Now, it was a silver coin, and it talks about how the woman runs around trying to find, cleaning the holes, finds the silver coin. Now, back then, silver was a big deal, right? You know, she tells all of her friends, I found it. You know, everyone, it's kind of like the eye, ear things. And so, for the life of me, I don't know what they're called. The parable of lost coin. And then the parable of the lost son. We all know that story really well, but there's some really neat things about it. And Timothy Keller says that the prodigal doesn't mean wayward, but it means reckless. And we see throughout this story that when the returning son comes back, he's welcomed with open arms. The father's watching. I mean, knows his responsibilities that he has here, but watching for that lost son. And when that son comes back, he welcomes him, opens him arms, big, big party. And he addresses that son. And then the older one who stuck around, now he's upset. And the father attends him and pulls him back and says, look, yes, you were always here and you're loved, but he left and came back. Like, I still know you. I'm still part, but they were lost. Now they're found. Like, that mindset of knowing that you have, it's like you have two kids. You love them both equally. And at times, one might need more than the other. And it's this back and forth. Yet you still know and love equally. God might not always give us what we want, and things might not always turn out the way we think they should or we want, but he always gives us everything we need, and that is himself. That is how we need to be as Christians, as fathers, as mothers, as family members, and people in relationships. We need to give of ourself, and it may be difficult, and there may be personality issues, and there may be all sorts of tensions and stuff going on, but we need to give ourselves, and we need to work on this daily and walk through life's difficulties and work on ourselves so that we can give to others. So, the parables in chapter 15 are great examples of how, even though there's still responsibility, the focus is on the one who has gone astray. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, gives us a really good example of things that can happen to us. It says, "Fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master." You know, no-win scenarios, you don't learn anything from. The set up to fail. It doesn't mean everybody gets a trophy. It doesn't mean everybody wins. But when you set up a no-win scenario, there's nothing that can, it's just all negative. But you can, in situations, build others up when there is failure. And you can rejoice when there is a win or when there's success. But no-win situations, when we put our family members, when we put our people that we're in relationships with in a no-win situation, that's exactly what it is. Nobody wins. And it's not good. We should be able to rejoice. I used to play goalie in ice hockey when I could actually like drop to the ground and get up a lot faster. And the last time I played, I dropped down and then I'm like, I'll just stay on the ground because, you know, I know they're going to shoot high, so I'll just flail like a spaz. Anyway, so I'm really good at saying to the guy who just scored on me, "Hey, great goal." The worst goalie ever, because I'm cheering for them. I'm like, "Hey, that was a nice goal. You really beat me on that one." I never got mad. I never got upset. But when we scored, I was happy too. Like, I was there for the game. I was there for the relationships and having a good time. And I didn't care who won, which is probably not the best person you want when you're in a competitive sport. But I just didn't care enough to. I just wanted to have some fun and get some exercise and enjoy it. And guys, you know, couldn't figure out why I was excited when somebody else deked me out. I'm like, "Yeah, he did. It's good. It was a good goal." And they're just mad. I say, it's okay to rejoice with other people when they do well. You don't always have to. When somebody comes up to tell me, "Hey, I'm going on a trip," or I got this," or "I've done that," there's some people that come specifically to me to tell me that they purchased something or done something well or finished a course or whatever, because they know I'm happy for them and I think it's good, and I don't go, "Oh, there's competition. I'm going to have to try and beat that." I'm excited for them. I'm happy for them. They should do it. We can celebrate because we're not always in front. We're not always the center of the focus. God revealed him, and just as God revealed himself to us through Christ and showed us how we should walk in the Lord and with the Lord, so fathers, parents, anyone in a relationship should build up and equip their children to face the world beyond their front doors and by being present in their lives and by showing them how to walk as children of the light, as Ephesians chapter 5 first talks about. So if you're struggling where you stand in the sight of the Lord right now, remember, he gave everything. He risked it all because of a desire to have a full and complete relationship with you. And he continues to seek you out no matter what, Even when you are at your worst, he's still seeking you. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. So if you're a father who has struggled with being present in your family's life, it's not too late. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Fix it. Maybe there's a lot of roads and things you got to do. Whatever relationship you're in, this is not just for fathers. I mean, we're focusing on that. But whatever relationship you're in, if there's something that you need to do to be present in people's lives, now's the time. Get pride out of the way. Get self out of the way. Get ego out of the way. And begin fresh now on repairing those relationships. Because, again, no one has ever said, I didn't want more time. If something in your past requires forgiveness or reconciliation in order to build a healthy relationship with your children, it's time. It's time to bring it to the Lord, and then it's time to have some reconciliation. And again, that doesn't mean it's just going to happen like that. It takes work. It takes time. It's time to change. It's time to make those steps forward. It's time to be the opposite of what the TV shows, the comedians, the social media, the cartoons portray fathers as and men as. It's time to be men. It's time to be you, because you don't have to be anyone else but you, and God will work on you. You know, we used to have this mindset of what a man looked like. Men are different. They've always have been. You know, spoiler alert, I like pedicures and manicures. Get over it if you don't think it's manly. I like it. I like shopping and I like shoes. Who doesn't? But hey, that's just me. I like those things. I'll wear a pink shirt if I have to. It's peach, but I'll wear it. You can call it pink if you want. That doesn't identify me. I'm a child of God. And I'll tear apart a V8 engine with the best of them. But don't ask me to make a wooden box square. I can't cut wood into a square piece of anything. It turns out like an oblong, round, something that isn't defined. I can't do that stuff. But I really love people who can. So we don't need to be defined by what society says we are. It's time to be men. It's time to be us. It's time to pour in to the people that are in our circle of influence to love God first, love our neighbor as ourselves. And then they will know us by how we love each other. And I think that's got lost over the past 14 months of COVID. We, as Christians, and I say we, as in, I'll take the heat for it too, but I have not thought this way, but we have not been a great example of what Christianity is. There are people who have not been a great example of who Jesus is during this pandemic because of conspiracy theories and plain stupidity. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Christians being a bad example. I'm tired of being embarrassed to say I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not like the whack jobs over there because it's ridiculous. We need to be Jesus in our communities, at our jobs. We need to love people. Doesn't matter about all this other nonsense. We are not being persecuted and have not been persecuted. If you want to be persecuted, I'll fly you over to a couple countries and show you what it means to be persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ. You won't last a second. We have to be a better example, and I know many of you here are. I do. But our friends have lost their minds on social media. They've lost their minds out there and think that it's something it's not. We always need to be prepared. We always need to watch. We always need to be very careful with, you know, political stuff. We do. But in the end, who do you serve? If God is all powerful, if God is the God of this book, of Israel, of Jews and Gentiles alike, if that is the truth, if this is the truth and he is all powerful, why are we worried about anything else? He's going to take care of us. I bet you when the disciples were being crucified and hung upside down and burnt alive and stoned, they weren't going, excuse me, government, you know what? This is against my rights as a human. I bet you they didn't do that because they had no rights. They were murdered. Until that day comes, you're not being persecuted. If that day comes, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So, I say to you today, let's reach out in love, even to those that have gone astray in our flock, even those who struggle with loving others and showing love to others. We need to show love to them too. We do. But we cannot act like this moving forward. Shouldn't have been in the past. But what's done is done. We need to move forward. And so today, as fathers, as men, as Christian people, let's be that example. Let's set the pace. Let's move forward. And let's just try. If this is true, let's live it. Let's just live it. And let God sort the rest of this stuff out, because you don't have any control over it anyways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come and look into your word. Thank you that you gave us the best example that we could ever have of what a father should be. Thank you that Jesus gave us the best example of what a person should be, of what a believer should be, and let us be that. Let us get out of the way of ourselves, of our political opinions, of our arrogance, set it aside, and let's just love on others however they come. It's difficult, yes, but let us just do it because we know that's what you want us to do. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and thank you for what you're about to do, because you are going to stretch us in ways that we are not going to like. And so give us the strength as we go through this, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for coming. And we will see you next week. Registration will be out. And then I can't wait to give you some good news in the next few weeks. God bless you.